Hi, thank you for visiting the Remnant Church podcast. We hope that this message will be seed planted in the fertile ground of your heart, watered a seed that has already been planted, and that the Lord of the harvest will bring the increase. May it take roots downward and fruit grow upward and outward. Let us join the message already in progress.
You know, so many times, and it becomes unintentional. But there's so many times in our journey of life and in our walk through this world that we unintentionally give precedence to things in our heart and our life that should not be number one. He was always meant to be number one. And really, those songs this morning, it just brings us back to a heart focus of, hey, what's number one in my heart? This has nothing to do with my sermon today, but I just feel like saying it. But we got to ask ourselves, David said, search my heart and know me. See if there's any wicked way in me. A lot of times, unintentionally, we get so distracted by the things of this world and the temptations of this world and all that this world has to offer that our eyes get fixed on everything else but Jesus. And we're pulled away, and before we know it, we're like, all this is going on. We're like, why is all this happening? But way back then, we lost our focus. Paul said, this one thing I do, I fix my eyes on Jesus, the author and the finisher of my faith. If I could just encourage you to do one thing this morning, it would just do a heart check and say, where's my heart and my eyes been fixed? And if he's not number one, then now's a perfect time to make him number one again. That's what he told one of the churches in Revelation, right? He said, you've done all these great things, but nevertheless, I have this against you. You lost your first love. Return to me. And I just feel like the Lord would have me tell somebody this morning. I feel that strongly. Return to me. Make me number one again. And everything else will fall into place. Jesus says, seek ye first the kingdom of God, his righteousness, and everything else will be added to you. Make him number one. Amen? Amen. Let's just say a prayer. Following the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, you speak to your people. You speak to me. You speak to me. You speak through me. Speak to your people now. And we just make you number one. Just take a moment, you yourself personally, and say, I make you number one again. I make you number one again. We recognize you as number one in our heart, and we will seek you. And I'm so thankful that your word says, if we seek you, we will find you if we search for you with our whole heart. And so this morning, our whole heart belongs to you in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. All right, that was a sermonette. Y'all ready for the next one? I just felt strong about that. We're going to pick back up in our series today. That we've been calling throughout the whole summer, the Word of God is. The Word of God is. Last week, we actually took a brief break from this series as we kind of went along with our vacation Bible school theme. It was called Made for More. It was the story of Elijah and Elisha. And last week, we talked about Elijah and Elisha, and we talked about how we should answer the call of God upon our life, how we should keep moving forward, no matter if there's hills or valleys or mountains or valleys, whatever stands, walls in front of us, we got to keep moving forward, and then we got to take up the mantle that's been laid before us, and we got to smack the water, amen? Cry out, where is the Lord God of Elijah? So that was last week, but today we're going to pick back up in our series. And 2 weeks ago, we preached on this topic. The Word of God is sight. It is sight, spiritual sight to us. And then today, we're going to talk about how the Word of God is light. It is light to us. And as usual, and how it should always be, we're just going to use the Word of God to show us that and to affirm that, okay? So I kind of love this one because it's just kind of easy. The Word of God just kind of lays it out there. Outright and directly for us. If you have your Bibles, go to Psalm chapter 119. So Psalm 119 is actually the longest chapter in the Bible. I don't know if you knew that or not, but it's got 176 verses. And I just felt like saying that. It's an interesting fact that that's the longest chapter in the Bible. I remember one time I went to an event with several pastors, and there was a tight schedule to this event, and they had a scripture reading that was integrated into the schedule. One of the pastors I was sitting beside at the event, he was designated to do a quick scripture reading. They said, "Hey, you can pick any verse you want out of the Bible or verses out of the Bible that you want to read, but you got about 2 or 3 minutes, and then we got to move to the next segment." So he, right as they introduced him, he looked over at me. He said, "The joke's on them. I'm about to read Psalm 119." And I cracked up because I knew he wasn't really going to do that, but I thought about how funny it would have been if he got up there and read all 176 verses. Psalm 119, this is verse 105. Lays it out plain and clear to us, right? It says, "Your word." Everybody say, "Your word." Y'all sound sleepy. Y'all say it again. "Your word." Oh, that's better. "Is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." Now, I want you to just think about that. Even though this is a very popular scripture, it's a famous verse that's quoted, it's been quoted a lot in the church world. I think even though it's a popular scripture, sometimes we miss the meat of it because we've gotten so used to hearing it, right? We hear it quoted so much, we just kind of get used to it. But this literally says, "Your word is a lamp to my feet, and it is a light to my path." So your word shows me how to take each step, and it also shows me the path I take as I get to stepping, okay? So I want to talk about three things that light does, or three things that the word of God does for us as light, okay? So here's my first point this morning. It's pretty powerful, I think. Light dispels darkness. Light dispels darkness, okay? So I just want to take a poll this morning in the room. If you're watching online, you can comment a hand-raised emoji, right? So just how many of us, at some point in your life, have you ever been walking across a dark room, and as you walked across the dark room, you've stubbed your toe, you've tripped over something, or you've stepped on a toy or a Lego or a belt buckle that did not feel so good? Let me tell you what happened before I take this actual poll. But Tuesday night, Amanda and I laid in the bed, and I started talking to her about my sermon notes. I'd been making notes, working on it all day Tuesday, and I said, "Hey, I got this going on. I'm talking about this, right? I'm going to do this." So Tuesday night, we're laying in there. I'll talk about that. Our bathroom is connected to our bedroom, and it's got this frosted window. And when the sun rises, the sun just shines in that frosted window, and it makes it real bright, and it lights up our bedroom too. So I'm very sensitive to light. I wake up real easy. So I'm like, I'm going to shut this bathroom door in case the sun rises real early. I don't want to get up that early because I've been waking up real early. And so I'm like, I'm gonna shut this bathroom door. Okay, we lay down, we talk about that. I get up in the middle of the night Tuesday night because some of us have reached the age where you go to the bathroom in the middle of the night, right? Yeah, Bill, I got you, man, I feel you. How many have reached where you go multiple times? Okay, all right. So I get up in the middle of the night. Pa, I know you feel me. So I get up in the middle of the night, just half out of it. I'm just walking to the bathroom as usual, and I tell you, I walk face first, nose, everything. Boom, right into the door. I wake Amanda up. I literally just walk straight into it. I'm like, then I was really awake. And I was like, oh, my gosh, Lord, why do you give me this material and test me in it? So I walk straight in the bathroom door, and after I laid back down, it took me a minute to go. I had to pick up my Bible app and read to get back to sleep because I got so tickled thinking that I was going to do this, and then I walked into the door. But maybe it was in the middle of the night. Maybe you wanted to go get a midnight Snicky snack from the fridge, or you had to go to the bathroom. But how many's ever stubbed your toe in the middle of the night, stepped on something that felt bad, tripped, walked into a door? How many's done that? Keep your hand raised. Lift it high. Okay, I want you to look around. If somebody doesn't have their hand raised, tell them to come to the altar. No, keep your hand up. Keep your hand up. Keep your hand up. Now, just look around the room. Look around. Look at how many clumsy people go to Remnant Church. Now, we're not clumsy, right? Maybe not all of us. Some of us may be. But we're not clumsy. But we did that because we were walking in the dark without a light. We did not have a lamp to our feet to see our steps or a light to our path to see if our path was clear or not and what to avoid. Y'all with me? Okay. Now think about what God's word is telling us right here. We are told we're supposed to walk in the Spirit. Galatians 5:16 tells us that, right? It says, I say then, walk in the Spirit. We walk in the Spirit, but we are living in a broken, dark world, okay? And if we're living in a broken, dark world, I have to ask, how many Christians are stumbling and stubbing their toes and tripping on things and stepping on things and walking in the doors because we're not using our lights and our lamps for our feet and our path, okay? So, again, my first point is light dispels darkness. It takes the darkness away. And something we've got to know and we've got to come to realize is that there is no struggle, there's no real actual struggle between light and darkness. Now, we may struggle with darkness in the world as believers, right? But God is not in a struggle with darkness. He's not in a struggle, and He is pure light, right? Light doesn't have to fight with darkness because it actually dispels the darkness. So there is no struggles. The light's not sitting there, okay, saying, if I could just push back the darkness a little bit further, this room will have light. No. You go into a dark room, you flip the switch, and the darkness dispels. There's no struggle. The darkness leaves immediately. It is dispelled, okay? Let me show you a scripture that we have looked at a lot of the times, I believe, really in a negative cognition or negative perspective, but I want to put a positive twist on it and make you think about it a different way today. This is John chapter 3, Jesus talking right after he gives the famous John 3:16, for God so loved the world. Go to verse 19 and 20. John 3, verse 19 and 20. Jesus still talking. He says, and this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world and men loved darkness. Make note of that. They loved darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light lest his deeds should be exposed. So think about that for a moment. If you are caught in darkness, many people will stay away from the Word of God. When they're caught in darkness, they tend to stay away from the Word of God, or they don't want to read the Word of God because they don't want what they've been doing to be exposed, really, in their own heart. It's a heart issue, the things that are in their own heart. They don't want that exposed. And so for a lot of people, when they are caught in darkness, they think or they believe, the last thing I want or the last thing I need to do is read God's Word, read the Bible. And really, that is a lie straight from the devil. When you are caught in darkness, the very first thing you need to do is read your Bible because it is a light that will dispel the darkness in your life and in your heart. And not only that, it won't just dispel it, but it'll ruin and damage the images of darkness that are embedded in your brain. Let me explain that, okay? There's several people here this morning that may get this analogy, and then some, because of their age, they may not get it. But I'm going to give this analogy anyway, right? So back in the day, cameras had something we called film. Right? Film. Anybody remember when cameras had film? Right? You couldn't just snap a picture on your phone and it'd be a digital image, or even the cameras, you know, the professional cameras you got today, they take pictures, they're digital images right away, right? But you had something called film inside the camera. What you do, you would have to take a picture of that camera full of film, a roll of film, and then once you filled up that roll of film with pictures, you would take that somewhere to get the pictures developed, okay? And do you know what the room was called that they developed the film in? Dark room. Y'all are telling your age. The youth were like, development room? No, it's a dark room, okay? I used to see this on TV and movies. You know, growing up, I'd watch TVs and movies, especially like if it was a crime movie or something like that. And it would be this important part of the movie, and they would be in there in this dark room, and they'd be trying to develop some important pictures that were taken that was going to give them more information on solving a case. And they'd be in this dark room, and somebody would walk in, and the light would be shining, and they'd say, "Shut the door! You're going to expose the film to the light! You're going to ruin it!" Anybody remember seeing anything like that, or hearing anything like that, experiencing anything like that? I always kind of wondered why that was. I didn't really understand. So literally, again, Tuesday this week, I was sitting there making notes, and I just Googled on my computer. I typed in, "What happens when film is exposed to light?" And y'all stay with me, because I'm making a point about what Jesus said when he said his deeds should be exposed, okay? So I typed in, "What happens when film is exposed to light?" And this is what it said. It said, this is just what it said straight from the computer there. When film is exposed to light, it undergoes a chemical change that can ruin the images, okay? It goes on to say, the extent of the damage depends on the intensity and the duration of the light exposure, okay? The duration and the intensity of the light exposure. Brief exposure to moderate light might cause minor leaks or fogging in the film, while longer or more intense exposure can render the film completely unusable. Now, why am I saying all this? Because I've talked to a lot of people, and they will say, "Pastor Andrew, I just can't get these images in my head from my past. I can't seem to get rid of them. I can't seem to get rid of these images. There's things that I've looked at in my past. There's things that I've done in my past. There's things that I've seen other people do in my past. And I just can't seem to get these images and get rid of them in my brain," okay? And if we're all being honest here this morning, I think to some extent, that applies to every single one of us, right? Things we've done in the darkness, things we've done in the dark rooms of our life or the dark seasons of our life that create these images and these memories in our minds that we don't want there anymore. Amen? So let me tell you how to get rid of them. Expose that film in your mind to the light and ruin those images. But listen, don't let it just be a brief exposure. But the longer you expose those images in your mind to the light, and the brighter it gets, that film, the more and more it's going to be ruined and no longer usable. So don't let guilt or shame keep you from the light, but rather expose the darkness to the light and watch it be dispelled. How many wants the darkness dispelled, right? Then you gotta shine the light on it, okay? But this is one thing we gotta do. We can't take the words of Jesus lightly here. Because he says, the only ones that do not want to expose the darkness to the light, okay, this is very important. The ones that don't want to expose the darkness to the light are the ones who love darkness more than they love the light. And that's what we're talking about at the very beginning. The Lord's asking us to do a heart check, right? Heart check. So the real question is not, will the light dispel the darkness? But do I really want the darkness to be dispelled by exposing it to the light? That's the real question. It comes down to an issue in our own heart. Where is our heart in the matter? And if our heart is not where it needs to be, then we can actually pray to him and talk to him and say, "Lord, my heart's not where it needs to be. My heart's calloused. It's stony. It's turned off to this. I need you to come and soften my heart." And he's so good, he'll come and fix your heart first, and then you can work on the other things. Amen? So what we look at with these eyes, right, the eyes we begin, what we look at, it actually lets light or darkness into our bodies and into our mind, into our hearts and minds, okay? So we have two gates. We have two sets of gates that go to our hearts and our minds. We got the eye gate and we got the ear gate, right? And that's why it's important what we watch and what we listen to, okay? So what we take in here or here actually goes here and here, okay? Jesus talks about this, and I'm going to show it to you. This is Luke chapter 11, verses 33 through 36. Luke 11, 33 through 36. Jesus says, "No one, when he has lit a lamp, puts it in a secret place or under a basket." Right? It reminds me of the old song, "This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine, let it shine." All right, that's good. How'd I do? I really can't sing, so I always ask Amanda, I need affirmation from her. Luke 33, "No one, when he has lit a lamp, puts it in a secret place or under a basket, but on a lampstand, that those who come in may see the light. The lamp of the body is the eye." Okay, listen to what he says. So in other words, what he's saying is, what you look at is how light or how darkness gets into your body or your heart or your mind. The lamp of the body is the eye. Therefore, when your eye is good, or when you're looking at good things according to the Word of God, your whole body is also full of light. Okay? But when your eye is bad, when you are looking at bad things, things you know are not, that are contrary to His Word, then your whole body is full of darkness. Therefore, verse 35, "Therefore, take heed that the light which is in you is not darkness." You know what Jesus is saying right there? Take heed. He's saying, be careful. Be careful what you're looking at. Make sure it isn't darkness, which means it's not something from His kingdom. If it's not of His kingdom, it's darkness, right? Make sure it's light. And then he says in verse 36, "If then your whole body is full of light, having no part dark," so if you're only looking at things of light, the whole body will be full of light, as when the bright shining of a lamp gives you light. You know what he's saying? He's saying you, when you're looking at good things and you're taking in the good things, light, when you're taking in light, this is light, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light into my path." When you're taking in light, you're filling yourself with light, and that's how you let your light shine. When you're taking it in here, through the gate, okay? The lamp of the body is the eye, okay? So, we can be, if we're taking in light, we can be our own personal shining lamp. And it can be coming from the inside of us. Why? Because we are full of light. That's what we've been taking in the gate. That's what we've been taking in these gates. That's why, for some people, we can say, you know, when so-and-so walks in the room, they just light up the room. Well, they've been taking in light. Right? Okay. So, just think about the darkness that our eyes see every day. Right? I'm just talking about the news. Right, you turn on the news and watch or listen, or you read news articles. Right, you go to the Fox News website, whatever website you go to. Almost every report is about dark things taking place: theft, murder, slander, immorality. You know, all these things. That's just the news. And then most of us spend hours a day, and you say, "Oh, I don't spend hours." I guarantee you do. Go look at your phone and see how much time you spend on your apps. It tracks it for you. You spend hours a day scrolling on these different social media platforms that are filled still with darkness that we could care less to talk about this morning, right? It's just a lot of darkness. All that is going in as we are reading, as we're scrolling, as we're watching. How many hours do we spend reading, watching, or seeing darkness, and that darkness is going in? Okay? Can you imagine if we spent the same amount of time or more reading light and letting that light in, how bright you would shine in a dark world? We would be, just like Jesus said, a bright, shining lamp in a dark room. Okay, so number one is light dispels darkness. Here's number two. Light actually helps you find lost things. Light helps you find lost things. So say you drop something. This happened this week too. It's so funny. The Lord tests us in the word we preach, right? This happened this week. I was making the notes about this, and something in our living room dropped. Amanda was looking for it under the couch. What was that? Oh, a car? Oh, it was in our car. It was in the car. Under the passenger seat, something dropped and rolled under the passenger seat. She started looking for it. So how many's ever dropped something, it rolled under the couch, or it rolled under the seat in your car, and you can't really see, so you have to get a flashlight, shine it up under their seat, see where the lost thing is. Anybody ever done that? Okay. I can't tell you how many times I have shined a light under a couch looking for toys, because our sons have lost them growing up, right? And so something was dropped, it was lost, and we shine a light into dark areas to try to find that. So Jesus tells a story in Luke chapter 15, and it's about a woman and a lost coin. And he actually tells this parable, this story, in between two other stories. We call one the parable of the lost sheep. We call the other one the parable of the prodigal son, okay? And in every one of these stories, it has to do with something that is valuable that was lost. Then it was found, and then it was recovered. So in the parable of the lost sheep, the shepherd, which is Jesus, he leaves the 99 sheep and goes and finds the one, brings it back, right? In the parable of the prodigal son, the son leaves the father. He loses his way out there. He's just in riotous living. But eventually he comes to himself and he says, I got to go back to my father's house. And there's a great party. The father clothes him in a robe and a ring and shoes and throws a party, right? Those are things that were valuable. In this one that we're about to talk about, the lost coin was something that was valuable to the woman. And so all these things represent something valuable, and they represent people. Why? Because people are valuable to God. People are valuable to God. But I'm going to read from this parable right here, Luke 15, verses 8, 9, and 10. It says, or what woman, again, this is Jesus talking all about this, or what woman, having 10 silver coins, if she loses one coin, does not light a lamp, right? Sweep the house and search carefully until she finds it. And when she has found it, she calls her friends and her neighbors together, saying, rejoice with me, for I have found the piece which I lost. This is how we know it's talking about people. This is what Jesus said in verse 10. Likewise, I say to you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. So that's why when somebody gets saved, well, you'll hear me say, hey, somebody in this house, praise the Lord, because the angels in heaven are rejoicing right now. Because Jesus himself said, when a sinner repents, the angels in heaven rejoice. And if they're rejoicing, by God, we need to be rejoicing. Amen? Right? It's a great thing when something that was lost is found. How good does it feel when you've lost something, you've been looking for it, you shine the light, and you see it, and you get it in your hand again? It feels good, right? There's a sense of excitement and joy that overtakes you because you found something that was lost. So I'm going to get back to people in a moment, but let me just say this. What if you lose your job? I'm telling you, light a lamp. Go read the Word of God. What if you lose a relationship? You feel lost without that person or without that relationship. I'm telling you, light a lamp. Read the Word of God. What if you lose an investment? Light a lamp. What if you lose your integrity? Maybe you did something or you said something. You out of emotion, you did something you thought you'd never do. What happens when you do that? Light a lamp. Expose it to the light. Get in the Word. What if you feel like you've lost yourself or you're trying to find help someone else, find someone else who is lost and it's lost their way? You're trying to help them find their way back home. What do? Light a lamp. Light a lamp for them to find their way. Just like the woman did in this parable, you light a lamp to help find what is lost. Now, I grew up on the mean streets of Cassville, Georgia. Kimsey Circle, to be exact. Okay? And honestly, I have so many great memories of growing up in that neighborhood. Kimsey Circle, right? Just this little circle off Cassville Road. We would ride bikes. We were playing baseball in the yard. We had basketball in the backyard. We were running through the woods. We just had a great time. All kinds of good stuff. But Kimsey Circle is just what it says. It's a circle. It's a loop. You turn off Cassville Road, and you go around Kimsey Circle, and it loops around, and it comes back out on Cassville Road, okay? But on Kimsey Circle, there was another road that branched off that was a dead-end road, and it was called Janice Lane, okay? And if you took Janice Lane off Kimsey Circle all the way down, you were driving or walking straight towards the woods, and it dead-ends into a driveway that goes up this very steep driveway to this house on a hill. That was my aunt and uncle's house. My cousins lived there, okay? But that house was completely surrounded by woods, completely. So my aunt and uncle lived up there, and me and my brother, we spent a lot of time with my cousins. They were just a couple years younger than us. They were both boys, and we would walk back and forth, ride bikes to each other's house. We just spent a lot of time traveling the streets back and forth, okay? And during the day, that was all good and dandy, right? But at night, walking down that road with lots of trees, animal noises, it was a whole different story. So I remember one night, I had stayed the night at my cousin's house, and I was a teenager, and I knew the next morning I had to be home very early. And so I had to really get there before the sun rose. And so I got up from their house early that morning, and I walked out their door. I got quietly outside their house, and I started walking down their very long, steep driveway. And the only light that I had was the light of the moon, and it was pretty much covered up by the clouds and all the trees we were surrounded with, okay? And I was pretty good at first. I was fine at first, right? But the longer I walked down that very dark road, I was getting a little more and more nervous. Anybody ever been there? I was getting a little more scared. I heard these dogs at first, right, in their fence. And then I heard what sounded like coyotes. And then I'm like, man, they some werewolves out here. My heart started beating fast, right? I could see the outline of the tops of the trees, and the wind was blowing. And as I looked at that, but as I looked more, it looked like something could be in the top of those trees looking at me. Right? And so I think, man, there's werewolves out here, and there's something in the trees following me trying to get me. Anybody else's mind start messing with them in the dark sometimes? Okay. So this is what I knew, though. Walking down that road, my heart's beating fast. I knew my mama always left our front porch light on. She always left it on in the front of her house. It would burn all night. And I knew if I could get to the end of Janice Lane, where the stop sign and dead end sign was, I would be okay. I would be able to see that light. I would be able to see home, and I would be okay. And so you know what I did? I ran as fast as these chicken legs could run, right? And they are chicken legs. That's the guy that played basketball yesterday. They saw him, right? I was running as fast as and I was outrunning everything I thought that was out there trying to get me. My heart was beating. It was pounding out of my chest. But I remember to this day, I do remember it. I really do. I remember getting to the end of Janice Lane, and I could see that porch light on the front of our house. And when I saw that light, there was like this instant relief and peace that just overtook me. Like, whew. And what was crazy was I was running as fast as I could. But when I saw that light, I stopped and I had peace. And I just began to walk like whatever I thought was chasing me wasn't chasing me anymore. But I had peace because I could see the light. Now, I wasn't completely lost. I kind of knew where I was going. It was hard to see. I wasn't completely lost, but because of the darkness, I felt like I was. I felt like I was because I was surrounded by all this darkness. And just like the woman's coin in Jesus' story, it was lost, but it was still in the house. It was still in the house. She just had to light a lamp. And what helped her find it, and what helped me find peace, and what helped me find comfort in the darkness was that light that was burning bright. So when you lose something, this is what I'm trying to tell you, or when you feel lost and you feel like you're surrounded by darkness, or when you're trying to help lost people find their way home, I'm telling you, light a lamp. You read the word or you give people the word. There is enough power in the word to change and transform lives. I said this a couple weeks ago. I can preach till I'm blue in the face, and I can be the best preacher in the world. But if I'm not using the word, it'll be useless. It's the word of God that has the power to change lives. It's sharper than any two-edged sword, right? And so we got to give them the word. Light a lamp. Amanda, you can come. I'm getting ready to give my third point. So number one is light dispels darkness. Light helps us find lost things. And then number three is light shows you the way. Light shows you the way. So not only is it a lamp to our feet to help us watch our steps, but it says it's also a light to our path. It shows us the way we should go, okay? I think the easiest thing I could think of to try to compare this to that I believe everybody would pretty much get would just be the headlights on our cars, right? If you go out and you drive at night, when it's good and it's dark outside, you're going to drive with your headlights on if you want to stay on the road, right? Okay? And so those headlights, they light up the path or the road that we are supposed to be traveling and the road we're supposed to take. And if you don't have those headlights on, then there's a really, really, really good chance you're going to miss a turn, or you're going to run off the road, and you're going to have a wreck. So we need light in darkness to help show us the way. And there's been many, many times in my life where I just needed the Lord to shed some light on the direction I needed to take, on a decision I needed to make, whether that was for me personally or whether that was for my family or whether that was for this church. And you know where I found the answer every time? You know where I found that direction, that confirmation, that light for the path? Every time. I find it right here in His Word. Every time. It never fails. His Word never fails us. And I'm going to tell you real quick how I seek an answer from the Lord on things in my life, concerning my life. And when I'm looking for direction, right? And I don't want to sound like, you know, there's a three-step process. I'm just telling you what I do. And I broke it down into three steps because I'm telling you what I do. But I'm asking Him to help me find my way or make a decision. Here's the first step. I always start with praise. I always praise the Lord for who He is. Psalm 100, verses 4 and 5 says, "Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise." Thanksgiving and praise. You can't praise God without being thankful, okay? Enter into His gates with thanksgiving, into His courts with praise, and be thankful to Him and bless His name. For the Lord is good, His mercy is everlasting, His truth endures to all generations. So this is what I know according to His Word. His truth endures to all generations. That includes me. That includes you. All generations, okay? So I start with praise. And I just began to thank the Lord for who He is. I thank him for what he's done for in the past. I thank him for what he's doing. I thank him for what he's going to do, even though I may not see it yet. I just thank him. God, you are awesome. You are wonderful. There's no God like you. There's no one who loves me as much as you love me. I'm fearfully and I'm wonderfully made. You've done this for me. You've done this for my family. And I just praise you for who you are. If you never did anything else, but you sent your son to die for me and save me from damnation and hell, I could never praise you and thank you enough. You are holy. You are worthy, and you are worthy of all glory and honor. I just praise him. That's how I start. That's step one. Step two, I move from praise to prayer, right? I transition to a place of prayer, and this is what I do. I'm specific. I ask him for wisdom. I ask him for guidance. I ask him for understanding. James 1, verse 5 says, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. Listen, if you lack wisdom, you don't know what to do. You don't know what direction to take. If you lack wisdom, let him ask God, who gives liberally to all without reproach, and it will be given. So I ask in faith, and this is the key. You got to ask in faith, believing God will give me what I'm asking for. That you're asking in faith that he will answer. Because let me tell you something. He may not always answer the way you want him to answer, but he will answer, okay? So, and I say ask in faith because the very next verse says, the next two verses, James 1, 6, and 7 says, but let him ask in faith with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. So if you don't ask in faith, believe in God to answer you, or that he can answer you, then you're asking amiss already. You got to believe that he who you're praying to is able to perform what you're asking. So you come to him in faith. So when we ask, we need to ask in faith and assurance that God will answer with no doubt. Otherwise, we shouldn't suppose he's going to, because we're doubting him. Then step three is very simply the word. I praise, I pray, and I pray specific prayers. Give me wisdom. This is what I'm asking you wisdom for. I don't know what to do right here. I need some kind of sign. I need some kind of confirmation, something you've already spoke to my heart. I need a confirmation on it because there's a decision that needs to be made. So then I go to the Word. I light a lamp. I light a lamp. When I don't know what to do or which way to go, I light a lamp. I light a lamp. I pick up His Word and I find a chapter or I find a verse or I find a book in the Bible, a story that relates to what I'm dealing with, and I say, God, speak to me through this. Holy Spirit, I need you to open my spiritual eyes. We talked about spiritual sight. I need you to open my spiritual eyes so I can see something that will give me direction. Light a lamp. And sometimes when I do that, I get an answer that I like. But then sometimes when I do that, I get an answer that I don't really like. And I just have to deal with the fact sometimes that I don't like it, but his ways are higher than mine, right? And if he gives us an answer, we still, whether we like it or not, we need to do it God's way. Because his way is the right way, and sometimes I have to tell my flesh, get out of the way, right? His word is a lamp unto my feet, and it is a light unto my path. So I am going to take things his way. I want everybody to stand with me. Light helps us find lost things. Maybe you hear this morning and you say, you know, I feel lost. Or I feel that I've been out wandering, not knowing my way, and I just need to come home to the Father. Maybe you feel like you've been surrounded by darkness. You know, I knew where home was. A story I told. I knew where home was. I just needed to see the light to make my way there. And maybe spiritually speaking here this morning, there's people that feel lost. You don't feel like you don't know your way. You don't know what direction to take in life right now. Maybe you know where home is. And this message is just a light shining bright to you so you can feel that joy and that peace and that comfort and stop being surrounded by so much darkness. Maybe that's you this morning. And in just a moment, we're going to give an altar call. And as we do, I want you to come forward. If you're feeling that way, I want you to come forward. I'm feeling lost. I've lost my sense of direction spiritually. I don't even know who I am anymore. I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know where I'm going. Maybe you've never known Jesus as the Lord and Savior of your life. He's the light of the world. I can tell you this. You can come to Him. It'll light up your world. He'll light up your world. And He'll cause the darkness to dispel. So maybe that's you this morning. I'm not asking you bow your heads, close your eyes. I'm just asking you search your own heart. Maybe you feel lost. No sense of direction. Maybe you hear and you say, Andrew, I'm a believer, but this is what I know. I got some darkness that needs to be dispelled in me because I've been taking in things. I've been taking in some darkness through these ear gates and through these eye gates. There's been darkness that's been going in, but I want to replace the darkness with light. And I'm making that decision today to let, I'm going to expose, right? Remember what Jesus said. We look at it as, we look at it as expose. He's just going to shame us in front of everybody. God is not about shaming people. Never has been. He came to rid us of guilt and shame. And so when we look at that and we say, so His deeds may be exposed, Jesus is saying, I want your deeds exposed so the darkness can go and you can live and walk and breathe and move in the light. And so that exposure is not a guilt-ridden thing. It's a thing to help propel you into who He's called you to be, to live and walk in the light. Be children of light. That's what the Apostle John said, right? Be in the light as He is in the light. So you got it. Maybe you've been taking in some things through your ear gates and your eye gates that's allowing darkness in, and now we got to replace that. You're going to make a commitment. I'm going to replace the things I've been looking at that is darkness and I've been letting in. I'm going to replace that with light, and I'm going to start taking that in so I can be a lamp in a dark world. Maybe that's you. And then last but not least, maybe you're just seeking, there's some decisions you got to make. Whether it's job, whether it's family, I don't know. There's just a point in your life you're at a crossroads, you don't know what path to take, and you say, I need a lamp to light my path. Maybe that's you. This is what Amanda's going to do. She's going to begin to sing. And as she begins to sing, if that applies to you in any area of your life, I just want you to come. I want you to come. I want you to spend some time with Him and let Him work on your heart and let Him shine His light into the dark areas and let the light dispel the darkness. Amen? So as she sings, would you come?
Thank you for listening to Remnant Church. Our service times are Sunday at 11 a.m. and Sunday evening at 6 p.m. and Wednesdays at 7 p.m. We would love for you to visit with us in person at 5134 Joe Frank Harris Parkway in Adairsville, Georgia. Until then, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face shine on you and be gracious to you. And may the Lord turn His face toward you and give you peace. In Jesus' name, amen.